Our favorite expert on travel to Cuba helps us explore the island beyond Havana in just a bit. And we'll get tips for time traveling to the first century AD to see how the once vibrant port city of Pompeii was frozen in time by Mount Vesuvius. But let's start today's travel with Rick Steves under the sea. For some reason, we've been wired to be terrified by sharks. But scuba divers actually seek out sharks to swim with. They find sharks are not dangerous at all. In fact, they find sharks have a kind of submarine charisma. Chris Taylor is an experienced diver with more than 1,000 dives under his weight belt. He's worked in the dive industry throughout Australia and has a particular love for sharks. He's the co-author of the National Geographic book, A Diver's Guide to the World, Remarkable Dive Travel Destinations Above and Beneath the Surface. And he's on the line with us today to share his love of diving with sharks. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So I was really, it caught my attention when I read that you not only love diving with sharks, you claim they have charisma. What is the charisma?
It's very similar to if you've got a pet dog. Say you've got a black Labrador and it's out in a field with a lot of other black Labradors. You can tell your black Labrador from all the other ones just on the way that your dog behaves and the charisma that your dog has. And it's very much the same with sharks. So if you spend a lot of time with the same individual sharks, you will notice that they do have different personalities and slightly different behavioral traits.
Well, they live in a neighborhood, and if you dive there repeatedly, you realize this is the same gang of sharks.
Yeah, that can certainly be the case. It depends on the species of shark. So there's well over 500 species of shark in the world. So there are certain sharks that are resident on particular reefs, and that's their home. Other sharks are very migratory, like great white sharks. They're not always resident.
Before we get any deeper, and there's all sorts of things I want to ask you about sharks, but I know that some people are just going to tune out because they're just thinking, no way, it's too dangerous. Why would I risk my limbs being ripped off? I've seen those photographs. So let's just talk about the fear of sharks. Why are people so terrified of sharks if they're not dangerous?
I wouldn't go as far as to say they're not dangerous, but they're also not this omnipresent monster that we need to be fearful of every time we enter the ocean. So if sharks were out there looking to hunt humans, and if they decided humans are their favorite food, then no human could go into the ocean ever again. That would be over.
Well, we
are exceptionally easy for them to catch if they so wished to do that. But time and time again, and especially now with drone footage that's everywhere nowadays, we can see lots and lots of footage now of sharks swimming around amongst swimmers and surfers, absolutely not interested by those people in the water at all. So I think the amount of times people actually have a close encounter with a shark without even realizing they had a close encounter with a shark is a lot higher than we ever thought before.
And you wrote that you've had literally hundreds of meetings and never a negative experience with a shark.
Exactly. All my experiences with sharks have been very relaxed and calm. That being said, I have more experience with great white sharks than with any other shark. And in order to spend time in the water safely with a great white shark, you do need to be in a cage.
Because that's the dangerous one. The great white shark is dangerous, or more dangerous than others.
Yeah, the great white shark is the one responsible for the most attacks and also the most deaths by sharks by far.
But just to put things into perspective, I read 10 people a year on average are killed by sharks on this whole planet.
That's right.
And one death in the United States every 2 years. And when you put that up against anything else, dogs, bees falling off of ladders, getting electrocuted by a toaster, all those things are more dangerous than sharks.
Exactly. I live in Australia, obviously, and we have the most deaths per year on average of any country in the world by sharks, and that's at about 5 roughly every year.
Yeah.
And it is very unfortunate and is very sad, but there's a lot of factors that seem to be common amongst most shark attacks, things like people in the water in the early morning or the late afternoon when the light is very low. So sharks do rely heavily on their eyesight. So we're swimming along on the surface and they probably don't understand what we are. I'm pretty sure they don't think we are a seal. I think that's a bit of a myth, but they don't necessarily know what we are. And so what they'll do is they'll come up and have a look at what we are. Unfortunately for a shark, not having hands, that involves the shark taking a little bite to see, just to find out what it is.
There must be some particular joy to even take that small risk. Tell us the majesty of being with a shark deep underwater. What are some of the highlights, the peacefulness, the inspiration of it?
When you're diving and when a shark comes in and starts to eyeball you, you can see this deep connection that you're having between one animal and another, us being animals. You can tell that the shark is having a good look at you and is just very, very interested in what we are and what we're doing in the ocean. And they'll often come in very, very slowly. They'll come in, have a little look, then swim away and come back again. And it's such a graceful animal as it just glides through the water effortlessly, and you can just swim through the water with it and share the space. It's brilliant.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're joined by Chris Taylor, who's sharing his love not only of scuba diving, but of doing it with sharks. He's the co-author of the National Geographic book, A Diver's Guide to the World, Remarkable Dive Travel Destinations Above and Beneath the Surface. So, Chris, a lot of times I can imagine you're enjoying almost a urban community, a society of fish and different sea life around a reef. And then a shark is part of that world also. It comes gliding through. What's that like?
So you can see the whole reef react to it. And there's been some incredible studies as well where they made a fake shark and towed it across the top of a reef just to let the shadow of the shark follow the reef. And all of the little fish obviously are afraid of the shark because the shark's the predator. So the fish then go and hide. And that actually increased the health of the reef by quite a lot, because without the sharks there, the other fish stay out and forage on the reef a lot more. And so they end up degrading the reef because they eat too much of it and break too much of it if they're not away hiding away from the shark. So all of these interactions are very, very important and very interesting to see. So if you go to a nice reef in the Caribbean and it's a good, healthy reef, you're likely to see some species of shark just swimming along the reef naturally. And that's the ideal way to see a shark. But unfortunately, shark populations have declined so much in the last few years, in the last couple of decades, that it's getting increasingly hard to just accidentally come across a shark when you go diving. So a lot of the times, if you do want to see sharks, you do have to bait for them and put some sort of food incentive in that attracts the sharks in. And that's especially the case when you're dealing with great white sharks. It's not really possible to see great white sharks without doing that.
You mentioned sharks are diminishing in population, and you wrote that their population is 70% down, and we should see them not as dangerous, but endangered. And there's a case where they even found a Chinese boat that had 6,000 sharks on the boat, taken because shark fin soup is so popular in Asia. What's the status now of the well-being of the shark population in our world?
Unfortunately, the status is not looking much better. Luckily, very recently, a few different shark species have been added to different international protection treaties, which is a good thing that they've been added, but it's very sad that they needed to be added. So yeah, lots of shark populations, especially the big migratory shark populations, are in massive decline because any regional protections that they might have don't exist everywhere. And so yes, they will get fished up by big shark fishing fleets. Now, as you pointed out, shark fin soup is a major driver of that, but it's not the only driver. A lot of countries still allow shark fishing, including Australia, where I live. And in any supermarket, you can buy shark meat. So it's not just all the Chinese for their soup, but obviously that does create a massive demand for sharks.
Chris Taylor's joining us from his home at Byron Bay, Australia, on Travel with Rick Steves. He works in the scuba diving industry throughout Australia and recommends his favorite diving locations in A Diver's Guide to the World. It's published by National Geographic. Chris, we just have a minute or so left, but I'd love to review. You wrote about the Bahamas as being a great place for sharks. Let's just talk about enjoying a little shark tourism in the Bahamas, for example. What would there be in the Bahamas? Why? You mentioned it has a very healthy shark population because of proactive humans who care. It's good for the local economy, generating lots of money for their tourism. What is there for shark tourism?
It's mainly driven by one major operator who's on Nassau. It's a nice shallow dive, and they're feeding the Caribbean reef sharks that are there. So the tourists sit in a big circle on the bottom, and meanwhile they're feeding the sharks in the middle of that big circle. So you get up close and personal with it. There are a lot of people who learn to dive specifically to go and do this one specific dive in the Bahamas. And for me, even though they are feeding the sharks, and there is a bit of controversy on do we want to be changing their natural behavior, on the flip side, you've also got this education that they're doing because they are showing sharks to a lot more people. And the more people that can see sharks and go into the ocean and see what's down there will have a very different appreciation for it, and then do end up wanting to help protect it. So it's a question of how do you balance the effect that we're having against the good publicity that it's creating. Mm. You have to also remember that in a place like in cities, like for instance in California, in Laguna Beach, with all your normal city things going on, all you need to do is walk into the ocean with some scuba gear, and only 100 yards from shore, you've got little sharks swimming around, and you've got this amazing marine life that you can go and visit. So if you live along the coastline anywhere, even in a big city, you're only 100 yards away from the wild natural world.
Hmm. People don't recognize that, but in the most urban, congested environment, you put on some scuba gear and paddle out there for 100 yards and go a few yards underwater, and it's a whole different world.
Exactly.
It's not a whole different world. It's the same world.
It's the same
part of the world we don't see.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, is get more people in to see it.
There you go. Well, Chris Taylor, thank you so much for joining us, and best wishes with your work and your book. The book is A Diver's Guide to the World, Remarkable Dive Travel Destinations Above and Beneath the Surface. And Chris, thanks in particular for raising awareness that sharks are not dangerous, but they are endangered. And they're an important part of the environmental mix that makes our world such a beautiful yet fragile place.
Thank you so much for having me.
Chris Taylor and his wife, Carrie Miller, recommend prime deep-sea diving sites in 35 countries in their book, A Diver's Guide to the World. They also post photos from under the sea on their website, beneaththesurface.media, and on Instagram. We'll encounter first century life at Pompeii in just a bit, but first, let's work our way across the island of Cuba on Travel with Rick Steves.